Good morning.
As we begin our worship this morning, please join me in our gathering hymn, Majesty. It's number 346. It's also printed in your order of worship. Stand again. Be seated, and the Lord be with you. Welcome as we gather to worship God together here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. It's so good to see each of you this morning, and good to see guests in our service today. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're a first-time guest, if you'd do us a favor and take one of the visitors' cards in the pew rack, or if you're sitting on a front pew in the rack, the pew behind you, and complete that and put in the offering plate when it's passed. That way we'll know how to get in touch with you if you'd like for us to. And we also welcome those joining us by radio or our live stream on YouTube. We thank you for being a part of our worship today and pray that it'll be a blessing to you as you join in and worship God with us. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Just a few announcements I need to share with you this morning. The youth group will meet today at 6:30, and note that time change because our plan for this evening is to go over to Chowan for the worship service at the Chowan Chapel. So we hope that all of our youth will be here to go over there with us and enjoy that time of worship. This week, Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. The first Lenten luncheon will be at the Methodist Church at noon. And then Wednesday evening, we'll have Big Wednesday with supper at 6. And then we're going to come over to the sanctuary for our Ash Wednesday service. And we hope that you'll be able to be here for that very, very special service of worship. Now, remember that we're still needing pictures for our directory that we're putting together. So if you have some, see Del Acock about that. And today's flowers are in loving memory of Mrs. Betty N. Batchelor. She was professor of English at Chowan College for 35 years. The flowers are given by her sons, David, Paul, and Jonathan, and their families. Paul reminded us in an email that Miss Batchelor taught the women's Sunday school class for a number of years after Daisy Lou Mixon stopped teaching, and she also sang in the choir. She served as a trustee for a while and loved our church dearly. And her sons share fond memories of our church, and particularly the Calkins family and the Pruitt family, and memories of Chowan. Miss Batchelor had moved to Murfreesboro to Rocky Mount in 1998, so many of you may or may not remember her, but she had become ill with lymphoma. But we appreciate her sons honoring her memory and sharing these flowers with us in her memory. As we worship God together this morning, I invite you to join me in our call to worship that comes from Psalm 99. It's printed in our order of service. If you will join in on the bold print. The Lord is King. let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. And let us pray. O Lord, you are King. You are our creator, our sustainer, and ruler over this universe that you brought into being through your eternal Son. You're exalted over all the peoples. Your name is great and awesome, and you are holy. As we gather together now in your presence, may we truly extol you and worship at your footstool in spirit and in truth. Make your presence known among us in a special way today, Lord. May we behold your glory, and as your people, may we be holy because you are holy. Through Christ our Lord we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number children come for the children's sermon now.
virtual reality, okay? What about you, Winslow? The mountains. It was just so much fun. You just wanted to stay, right? Just move. Forget about anything here in Murfreesboro. You just wanted to stay in the mountains, right? Jack, you ever had that experience? No? Well, sometimes that happens. And today's story is about that. Jesus and two of the disciples were on the mountain. And the disciples were sleeping at first. And then they woke up and they saw Jesus in such blinding white, and with him were the law, Moses, and the prophet Elijah. And you know what Peter said to them? Peter woke up and he says, let's just build three houses, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll just stay here forever. Do you think they could do that? No. Even though it was a very, very special experience, they couldn't stay there. And God says from heaven, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And they're told that they have to go down off the mountain. Now, when you've had so much fun, do you go down and tell people about it? Yeah. Do you think they did? No. They kept it to themselves for the time being. Let's say a prayer, because sometimes good things have to stay with us. Dear God, we thank you for the experiences that you give us. And we know that we should shout them all to the mountaintops, but sometimes we have to keep them close to the heart until it's time to reveal the truth. In your son's name, amen. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson today is taken from Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off, until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
As we come to our prayer time now, a number of folks that we have been asked to pray for, the family of Opal Daniels, who passed away this week. Prayers for Randy and Cindy Copeland, Faye Jenkins, Bonnie Jenkins, Gary Brett. Let's also remember Genevieve and Chris Broadhead. Genevieve is improving some, and we're grateful for that. She's still in rehab at Rich Square. And then also Gerald Taylor recovering from his knee replacement surgery. And we have some folks who are sick at home, and we want to remember them. Also, of course, the wildfire danger is very great right now because of the dryness of the weather conditions. And there are a number of people in different parts of our state and in South Carolina who are dealing with those fires right now, and so let's remember them as well. So please join me in prayer, and we'll close our prayer by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Eternal and almighty God, who in ancient times revealed yourself to your servants little by little and in various ways, and then most fully in your eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that in your great eternal redemptive purpose you commanded light to shine out of darkness, and that you've shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you've revealed yourself in him and that you have redeemed us in him through his perfect life, his death on the cross, and his victorious resurrection. We thank you that because of who he is and what he has done, we can be right with you through faith, forgiven of our sins, and experiencing a loving relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the hope that you've given us in Christ, that what is not all that is, and that what is now is not all that will be. We thank you for the promise of heaven when we die, and your guarantee of our resurrection at the last day when Christ returns in glory to raise us from death, to judge the world in righteousness, and to set all things right in the new creation. We thank you as well for spiritual help that you give us day by day in our journey, and for all the temporal blessings you pour out on us in our lives. And now, Lord, as your word teaches us, with thanksgivings, we come to present our petitions and our intercessions to you. We pray, Lord, for your work in the world, the work of your kingdom, and your work through your church throughout the world. Father, we pray that you would bless your churches wherever they may be. And we pray your special blessings on our church here at Murfreesboro Baptist and in all the churches in Murfreesboro, that we would be shining lights to the community around us. And Father, that you would help us to bear a winsome witness of the good news of Jesus Christ, so that those who don't know you might come to know you. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering in the devastation that is brought by so many different disasters at home and abroad. Lord, in recent months, there have been floods and fires and earthquakes and all kinds of disasters. And we ask your help for those who suffer because of them. And Lord, with all the wildfires that are going on right now, in the southeast, we ask your help for those who are fighting the fires, and that you would help them to bring them under control, and Lord, that you would protect life and property, and Father, that people will be safe in the midst of it. And Father, we pray for those who suffer because of the devastation of war. We know that there are many wars going on in our world. We know that what's going on in Israel and Gaza and what's going on in Ukraine are the ones that are uppermost in our mind. But Father, we know there are others going on as well. And for those who suffer unjustly and for those who suffer innocently because of these wars, we lift our prayers and ask your help for them. And Father, we pray for a just and lasting peace in all of these situations, and that you would bring that about soon. Father, we know that in our world, that there are places where those who trust in you are persecuted and sometimes even martyred for their faith. Father, we think of those 70 people just a week ago who were killed because of their faith over in Africa. Lord, we ask your mercy and grace for their families. We pray your boldness and your grace for those who are persecuted. And Lord, when they are called on to give their lives for you, help them to do so with courage that they will live again in Christ. Father, we pray for those who are sick, those who are injured, those recovering from surgery, those who may be undergoing some kind of treatment or enduring chronic illness, those going through rehab. Lord, we pray that you will help them, and Father, that their health would be restored according to your will. Lord, we know that sometimes you choose to heal and sometimes you choose to work in other ways, and we pray that whatever you choose, Lord, that you will give the grace and strength that is needed in each situation, and that your will be done. And Lord, for those who grieve, we pray your comfort and strength, that you would help them through their time of sorrow. We pray, Lord, for our children and our young people and their parents and teachers and guides, for our college students, for all of the students, faculty, staff, and administration at Chowan. And we ask, Father, that you will work in the lives of these children and youth and students in a very powerful way, helping them to know what it means to follow you and to follow you faithfully and become strong disciples. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you and ask that you would open their hearts, and Father, that you will help us to be faithful when there's opportunity to bear witness to them. And Lord, for those who do know you but are not walking with you faithfully right now, not walking in the fellowship of your church, we pray that you would burden their hearts, that you would draw them back to yourself and to their walk with your people and with you. Lord, there are many other things on our hearts and minds, and we gather them all now and lift our prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. For we know that he lives and reigns together with you in the Holy Spirit as one God now and forever. And we gather all these prayers and offer them in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying together: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 161. See our Lord in all his glory.
Shine in love.
us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to listen well to your Son as he teaches us how to live. Help us to become more like him in every way as we follow him, living as he lived, relating to everyone in mercy and generosity. Continue to nurture us in a deep and genuine desire to share in the work of your kingdom here on earth through your church, as we seek to be good stewards of all you've entrusted to us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, as you have seen in our order of worship and in the songs and hymns we've been singing this morning, today is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday. Let's read about Luke's account of the Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Luke 9, 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. O Lord, as we look into your word now, guide our thoughts. Help us to understand something of the significance of Jesus' transfiguration. And help us, O Lord, to experience your glory in him. We pray in his strong name. Amen. Have you ever had one of those times that you were just so sleepy you couldn't keep your eyes open? Ever been that way? Well, you know, your eyelids just got heavier and heavier, and it was all you could do to stay awake. And if you're at home, you know, that's not really a problem because you can take a nap, you can go to bed early, whatever. But sometimes it happens in other places. Public places. Sometimes it happens in class. Sometimes it might even happen at work. And sometimes it happens in church. And it might be because you haven't had a good night's sleep, or because you're on a medication that makes you sleepy, or maybe you're just not interested in the lesson or the sermon for the day or whatever. But, you know, it can be embarrassing. It really can. And sometimes it can be funny. When I was in college. The church that I was serving at the time was in a resort area, and we had a father and his two daughters who owned some cottages in that resort area, and every summer they would come and stay the whole summer, and they would attend our church, and they were always there, very, very attentive, sitting right on the front row or the second row. And one Sunday, one of the daughters came to me before service, and she said, "Now, if Daddy falls asleep this morning, it's not your sermon. The doctors have changed his medication, and this medication is making him very, very sleepy." So I didn't think anything of it, and as I was preaching, I looked over there, and sure enough, he had nodded off, and I just didn't think anything about it, went on in my sermon. But somewhere in my sermon, I was making the point with some emphasis that it's time for us to wake up. And he did. And his eyes got about this big. And he didn't fall asleep anymore for the rest of my sermon. Well, have you ever noticed how hard it is sometimes to stay awake when you're praying or reading the Bible? Now, maybe you don't have a problem with that, but sometimes I do. But then when I look at this story from our text this morning, I see I'm not the only one. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and led them up a mountain where they were all alone. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us this story, but only Luke tells us that Jesus took them on the mountain to pray. To pray. Jesus spent a lot of his time in prayer, and he loved to pray in the mountains. And no wonder, because after all, Scripture is in Scripture, significant events, especially events of revelation, often took place on mountains. While Peter and John and James were there with Jesus, something absolutely astounding took place, because as he was praying, Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed into his eternal glorified state. Now, Luke doesn't use the term transfigured in telling the story like Matthew and Mark do, but he describes what happened. He describes it by saying that the appearance of Jesus' face changed and his clothes became dazzling white, or as it could be translated, his clothing became white, flashing like lightning. It was that brightness that lightning has. But Peter, John, and James almost missed it. Why? Because, as Luke puts it, they were weighed down with sleep. Or some translations put it, they were heavy with sleep. Now, some translations translate it that they had actually fallen asleep and woke up. Some translated, as the New RSV does, that they were very, very sleepy, but they had managed to stay awake. But the problem for them was that they almost missed it. But thankfully, they snapped out of it and woke up fully just in time. I can imagine what it must have been like for them when they did become fully awake. Jesus' clothes were dazzling white. He was in his glorified state. They knew it was Jesus, but they'd never seen him like this. And to top it all off, Moses and Elijah, those two Hebrew heroes who represented the law and the prophets, were standing there holding a conversation with him about his departure, or literally his exodus that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Well, despite their sleepiness, Peter knew that something big was up. And he may have thought that the kingdom had come. He may have thought that the nations were ready to come for the Feast of Tabernacles, as prophesied in Zechariah 14:16. And just as Moses and Elijah were leaving Jesus, Peter said, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Luke says that Peter didn't know what he was saying. But, you know, when you think about it, what would you say if Jesus was in his eternal glorified state holding conversation with one man who had lived at least 1,300 years before and the other who had lived at least 800 years before. What would you say? Well, even as Peter was saying that, a cloud came and overshadowed them, the cloud of God's Shekinah glory that led the children of Israel through the wilderness after the Exodus and that settled on the tabernacle and then later on the temple of God when Solomon dedicated it. A voice came out of the cloud, a voice that could only be the voice of God the Father. And it was that same voice that had spoken to Jesus as he was praying after his baptism. Then it had said to them, "This is my beloved, you are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased." Here he says, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And then just as suddenly as it had all happened, they looked around and saw that Jesus was alone again, and that now he was back in his earthly state. They saw Jesus that day as they'd never seen him before. In a few fleeting moments, they saw what would be the outcome of his obedience to the Father and the Father's glorious approval of the path that he had chosen. They saw a foreshadowing of his resurrection and his eternal glory in which he'll one day return. But they didn't understand all of this until after he was raised. Now, don't miss what the Father's voice told Peter, John, and James. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Listen to him. About a week earlier, when Jesus had asked his disciples who he was, Peter had boldly declared, "You're the Messiah of God." And Jesus' declaration that same day, right after Peter had said that he must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And then this experience a week later, well, that had just turned what Peter thought his confession had meant upside down. Even in the midst of this revelation of Jesus' glory, the Father's voice from heaven had commanded these disciples to listen to him, especially to what he had recently told them about his own coming suffering, death, resurrection, and exaltation, and about what it means to follow him. And while Peter, John, and James kept this experience to themselves until after the resurrection, you can be sure that it was constantly on their minds as they mulled over its meaning time and time again. You know, when we look at this story, there's some intriguing details. For instance, isn't it interesting that Moses and Elijah appear with the transfigured Jesus in glory? Think about their stories in the Old Testament. Of course, there were many stories about both of them, but one in particular about Moses. Moses asked to see the Lord's glory. And the Lord placed him in a cleft of the rock and passed by him. And since no one could see the Lord's face and live, the Lord placed his hand over Moses and passed by him and then removed his hand and let him see his back. And now Moses was appearing in glory with Jesus, talking with him face to face about the exodus he would soon accomplish at Jerusalem. And then what about Elijah? Well, there are many great stories about Elijah as well. But one of them is in 1 Kings 19 when he was on Horeb, the Mount of God, which it was also known as Mount Sinai, where God gave the law through Moses, the Ten Commandments, to the children of Israel, the same place the Lord had passed by him. There was a mighty wind. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. But the text tells us that the Lord was not in the wind, and he was not in the earthquake, and he was not in the fire. But after that, there came a still, small voice. And the Lord spoke to Elijah and commissioned him anew. And now here on another mountain, Peter, John, and James saw the transfigured Jesus' glory and heard the Father's voice telling them to listen to Jesus. Isn't it also interesting what Moses and Elijah represented to the Jews in Jesus' day? When they thought of Moses, they thought of the law. When they thought of Elijah, they thought of the prophets. The law and the prophets were two of the three major divisions of the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, counted Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and what we call the minor prophets as the prophets. And the other books that were not in the law or the prophets made up the section called the writings. So here are the law and the prophets talking with the transfigured Jesus in glory about his exodus that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, John would later describe Jesus as the living Word of God. And thus, the law and the prophets were conferring with the living Word. As the 4th century Christian writer Ephraim the Syrian put it, Moses and Elijah appeared beside him so they might know that he was Lord of the prophets. It's also interesting that all this took place while Jesus was praying. But what were his disciples, Peter, John, and James, doing? They were about to fall asleep, weighed down with sleep, a very picturesque way of putting it. You know that feeling, don't you? You can hardly keep your eyes open. The eyelids are so heavy, they keep closing on you. You try and try and try to keep them open, but the sleepiness is just too heavy. But before Moses and Elijah departed and Jesus returned to his earthly state, they were fully awake. And they saw his glory. And Moses and Elijah with them. And Peter wanted to build those three tabernacles. But then the cloud overshadowed them, terrifying them. And they heard the Lord's voice, the voice of the Father, telling them to listen to his Son. And then all they saw was Jesus. It was when Peter, John, and James were fully awake that they saw Jesus' glory. But even then, it was only for a fleeting moment. Once the Father's voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, my chosen, listen to him," then they saw him alone again as they'd known him before. But after this experience, they knew that there was even more to Jesus than what they'd ever thought before. Isn't that how it happens? Things are going along. We're trying to do what we're supposed to be doing, but we're getting weary doing it. We're being weighed down with sleep. And it gets us heavier and heavier with sleep. And we can hardly keep our spiritual eyes open. But then all of a sudden, God does something to jolt us fully awake. And we see Christ's glory for a fleeting moment. And when we do, what is it we want to do? We want to build three tabernacles and stay on the mountain. We want to stay where we've had that experience. We want to keep on experiencing that over and over and over. But the Father tells us to listen to his Son, who tells us that just as he suffered and was rejected and killed and then rose, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him, knowing that just as he rose in glory, so will we. And once again, we see him alone, and we follow him down the mountain to minister to those in need, to proclaim the kingdom of God through our works of mercy and our words of witness. When they were fully awake, they saw his glory. And so will we. Let's pray. Father, show us your glory. Help us to be fully awake so that we might see it. Oh Lord, help us to be attentive to you. Help us to be watching for how you are working, watching for how you show yourself to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Lord. Help us to be fully awake. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how God is speaking to you this morning through the scriptures and the sermon and the songs, but perhaps he is calling you to some new commitment or to some deepening of a commitment that you've made to him. Or if you've never followed him as your Lord and Savior, maybe he's calling you this morning to follow him. Will you do that? Will you make those commitments? Now you can do that right where you are. But sometimes there's a need to come and share a commitment. And if you feel that need this morning, we invite you to do so. And if you're following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to tell others about that. And we invite you to come and do so. Whatever your need is this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing number 431, Jesus is Lord of All.
Jesus is Savior and Lord of all. And as you go